Blog Talk Radio.
Like to request our flight attendants be seated at this time. We're landing in about 1 minute. Thank you.
DJ Sweat Show, and I am so glad to be back here in front of the mic bringing you this show live today. Wilkinson Central is live. Now, we are still working on a couple of just last-minute tweaks that we got to make. For instance, the logo up there that I created is giving me a weird background, and then the featured games should be up sometime later tonight. But the website, it is live. It'll at least give you a feel for what things are going to look like. The rankings on there are not up to date. Those will go at 9 o'clock tonight. I'll try and get those posted. We do have the votes in for the media poll. So I'm really excited to get that out to you guys. We're working on getting another coaches poll out. There'll be more information about that throughout the middle of the season. But Wilkinson Central is live. If you guys want to go through the site, we'll go through it right now. I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of a walkthrough of what we're going to be looking at and what the site is meant for. You'll see the homepage there. It has, by the way, a way for you to stream this show and listen to previous podcasts right on the homepage. And then there's another tab for the show as well. There is a Wilkinson News tab. Now, that tab will be used for if there's a major game going on, which we've got, gosh, we've got a bunch of big games tomorrow. It'll be used for, you know, if there's an upset or if there's a big coaching change or whatever. So it'll be used for that. The rankings will also be right there on the home page. If you're over to the featured games tab, now you guys know what that is. Just the guy did that for Wilkinson Weekly. He's going to be doing the same thing for us right there. You'll have the 1A tab. And then this has the WIS rankings, which we'll post. Now, the reason we're putting the rankings on there is now he had been using previously the media rankings published through the WIS site. And what we had discussed was that's fine, but those rankings mean nothing. At least the WIS rankings, even if they're a little inaccurate in those first few weeks, it plays meaning into the postseason. So that projected outcome is actually going to have even more meaning than what it's meant in the past, because you'll kind of see where we're projecting a team to win or lose in the next week, and that will obviously have an outcome on where they're ranked in the ensuing week. So that's under the media rankings on the drop-down menu of each division there. And then the bowlology and the bracketology are in there as well, and those will be updated in week 4 when the WIS rankings come out. So I'm happy to get back to that. There's a recruiting tab there. Just got to put that together. We didn't really update it throughout much of this season because, again, the website wasn't even live, but it is there. That's what that's going to look like in the future. The coaching carousel, we're working on that tab to have a bit of a feel and look for it once we get that moving, but that's going to be a lot of fun. And then the blog. So there's going to be the Big Sky blog there that'll be run by Bama, as you know. And then there is the A10 blog on there. Now, what's happening as far as staff is concerned is Justin Guy is going to be the one who's mainly in charge of this site. He's like our senior editor. Like he's the main person. And then right under him will be me. Now, I'm not going to contribute much to the site besides bowlology and bracketology because I'm doing the show. However, I will oversee several different things on the site. And then new to the staff, joining us as a writer, senior editor, he's going to help edit the site as well and do a lot of things with it, is Orange Pace, coach of Tennessee Tech. I've known Chris Orange Pace for a while through What If Sports. He's a great member, a great guy to get to know. I think he's going to contribute a lot to our website. Obviously, we have Dean Horvey over there running the Twitter account. Tampa Flaw, who has run the A10 blog in the past, is actually stepping up, and he is going to cover entire northeastern part of the U.S. So he's going to cover the A10, as usual, the Northeast Conference, the Ivy, the ACC, the Big East, and so forth. He's going to cover all of that. As far as Orange Pace and Just the Guy are concerned, each will be contributing to 1A and 1AA, but Orange Pace will be more involved with 1A, while Just the Guy will be more involved with 1AA. So they're going to have a couple of different, duties or responsibilities throughout the season, but that's kind of where we are with the website. Give me just a second here. Okay, good. Sorry, some people were having trouble listening to me. It looks like there was an echo going, but it looks like everything's okay now. And I do apologize for that. We had storms roll through here, and if you remember, probably two episodes ago, storms knocked us off. You guys were left in the dark for about 15 minutes, and you bared with me through the chat, and we got back on here. We had storms roll in here, so I'm sure that could be contributing to any potential echo that you're hearing, and I do apologize for that. But it looks like you guys can hear me well now. So anyways, that's where we're at with the site. There'll be more things to come to it as we progress with it, but it is live now. We'll be updating that throughout the season, and the hope is that you guys have something new to look forward to every day. No matter what team you are, no matter what division, there should be something posted on there that either directly or indirectly affects you and your team. That's kind of the hope of the site. And now that we've got like six guys working on this thing, and I feel like I'm forgetting someone too. If I am, I apologize. But we've got a lot of guys contributing to it. Make sure to send Just the Guy a message, because he has put in, oh my goodness, guys, he has put in so much work to make this thing happen. I brought this to him. I brought this idea to him probably a little over a month ago, and I've contributed a little bit to it, but he's been the main one. He has just taken that idea and rolled with it, and now we've combined everything, and guys like Orange Pace, Tampa Flaw, Bama, all of these different guys are just stepping up and contributing to the site, and I think now we've got something really, really special to work with. One of the things, and I'm not going to try and brag on myself or anything like that, but we'll get to Dawn of a Season in just a minute, but the reason for the site, because I know people are asking this, and I know some people look at this and they go, okay, well, what's really different between this and Wilkinson Weekly? So essentially, I started about a year and a half ago, I started the blog for Wilkinson. That's kind of where all of this, the radio show and everything, kind of took off. Started the blog for Wilkinson using Google, their blogger. And I did that because I wanted more people to join Wilkinson. Wilkinson was probably one of the least populated worlds before I did that. And I did that thinking, maybe this will generate 10 new members in each or in 1AA. And maybe I can get more guys into the PFL, you know, and really just have fun with it. And so I did that. Guys started joining. And then I was like, okay, well, the blog's cool. But A, I'm not really much of a writer. I'm more of a talker. And B, blogs are actually fairly popular for these games. What if we just had a radio show? And I did the blog too. So at one point I was doing the radio show and the blog. And I did the blog, or I did the radio show thinking, maybe that'll get us, you know, another 10 members in the 1AA. And it did. We kept increasing. And the guys like, Just the Guy came on. He did Wilkinson Weekly. And that's really when Wilkinson kind of started blowing up. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to cover 1A and 1AA. And then this thing just really started taking off. So the reason why we're doing Wilkinson Central is because I see an opportunity here to grow Wilkinson even more. And right now, we're sitting at around 50 members in each 1A and 1AA, close to about 50% of capacity in each of those divisions. That, to me, is a very good number to be at. But I see this website, and I see everything we can do with it, and I see all the guys who are on staff with it. I see this, and what I see is potential for us to increase about another 10 to 15 members, hopefully, in each division. And if we get to that point, will be hovering around 65 to 70 teams in both 1A and 1AA. And we're already reaching a point now, guys, where if you're in 1AA, if you make playoffs, you're doing really well. It's competitive now. It used to be, okay, so what? You got the playoffs. There's going to be like six or seven sim teams that make playoffs. Now, I think last season we maybe had one sim team sneak in there, and that was because they were in a division with no other humans. It's starting to change, guys. The culture in Wilkinson's starting to change. More coaches are starting to move around. We're getting a lot more popular. People are starting to come over here. And this website, I think, is just going to extend it. So I hope you guys go visit it. I hope you guys like it and enjoy it and thank Just the Guy for it, because he's really put in a lot of work. As says Orange Pace, Dean Horvey has taken over Twitter and just done a fantastic job with it. I mean, he's taken over Twitter, guys, and just the information he's putting out is just so special and unique. I am so glad to have him a part of this as well, and I think he's helping take this to another step that's maybe attracting a different base or audience that typically these games don't attract. And I really, really enjoy what he's been putting up, so you guys go follow him on Twitter and continue to look at the website. All right, guys, we're going to get to our dawn of a season rankings. I don't really have any music for you. I apologize for that. I don't know. I kind of thought maybe they'll enjoy not having music. I don't know. But no music today. Dawn of a season rankings. We're going to start off with 1AA, and then we'll get to 1A. Past couple of seasons, what I typically say, and it's almost cliche, what I will say is that the thing is wide open. There's a bunch of teams competing for it, and it's just a big, you can take any team and put them anywhere. I say that all the time. This season, I feel a little different. In 1AA, I feel like there's two teams that kind of stand out from the rest, and I feel like one team maybe is the early favorite to win this thing. But we're going to start off at 15th in the country. I have Coastal Carolina. This is a team that I like. I do not love, though. I think they've got a lot of things to fix. If we're going to consider this team a legitimate championship or title contender, the one thing I do like is David Dean. He's the best quarterback in 1AA. He's absolutely incredible. He's honestly, you could put him in 1A, and he'd be a great quarterback. He'd be a great quarterback. So Coastal has him in there. The problem is, they've got Zachary Wade at receiver. So you're going to have the second-best receiver, first-best quarterback. That's why I like this team. Now, outside of that, this is where I really start to struggle with Coastal. They don't really have great running backs. Their best running back is ranked 183rd in the country, Kenneth Manley. I don't know that he'd start for my Liberty team. It's not – that, to me, he's got two offensive weapons, a quarterback and receiver, and then that's about it. Offensive line's not great. Defensive line needs some work. Linebackers I'm skeptical about those. He's definitely not deep there. He's got two average ones, and then the talent even drops off from there. His secondary, Kenneth Merritt, is decent, but the rest of this team, it's just really, really young. I think they've got three seniors total. They've got five seniors total on this team. That's it. I don't think this team's a title contender, but I like David Dean. I think he at least gives them a weapon to work with to where they could contend with anybody, but they don't have multiple weapons. They've only got that quarterback and receiver connection. So this thing, they don't have multiple ways to beat you. They've only got one. To me, that tells me this is a team capable of pulling off an upset, not a team capable of putting together a string of big wins. So I put Coastal there at 15th. I've got Eastern Kentucky in at 14th. I love Pete. The formation IQ is starting to come along, but there's nothing great about this team. It's an average team. I think they'll be able to start going deeper into games, but this team is young. I think he had a recruiting class of like 18, so he had 18 spots to fill from last season. He's still working on a rebuild there. I don't think this is an elite squad, but it is Pete. They've got some talent there. They're fairly deep. I think this will be a team that's going to struggle early on, But as we get towards the end of the season, Eastern Kentucky should start really coming along and getting better. In at 13th, I have Yale. This is a team that's not very deep, but they've got a lot of talent in the right places. Two very good running backs, which will work well in this wishbone offense. So they've got some pieces. Their defense is okay, not great. But I think this is a team capable of pulling off some big wins. The real question will be with this wishbone offense, can they last in a really long competitive back and forth games? That's been the struggle for SJU Rat. In at 12th, this is a team that I really want to like, but on paper, they don't match up with my grading system very well, which is why they didn't get into the top 10. However, their offense is as good as anybody's in the country. They can definitely score enough points to beat anyone, which, again, I like. The problem is their defense is a little skeptical, especially with that formation IQ, which I think is incredibly average, maybe even below average. I gave this a total team grade of an A-. So that tells you there's a lot of talented teams out there. This team is an A- and ranked 12th. Typically, I'll have a team like this, a B- or a B, get into 12th or 13th. Southeast Missouri, they've got a really good coach in Osball. I think they're capable of winning big games. I just don't think this talent is very, very deep. I think they're going to struggle late in games against a team like Jacksonville State or Tennessee Tech. And both of those being conference mates, that's where I think Southeastern Missouri could see a couple of rough patches throughout their season. But they come in at 12th. In at 11th, it's another team I like, but they just fell short of where I would want a top 10 team to be. It's Cal Poly. Now, talent-wise on offense and defense, this team is right there. My biggest struggle with this team is their formation IQ is low 50s on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. That, to me, I don't like that. That's going to result in a lot of turnovers. They won't be able to generate big plays. And if they play a team, like a Texas State or a Northern Arizona, those teams could be able to generate big plays. I'm not in love with Cal Poly, but I like the talent. That should be good enough to get them a bunch of wins and probably a good seed as well. So I put them in at 11. At 10th, again, another team I like, don't love, is Holy Cross. They've got the defense to keep games low scoring. I'm not sure how well this offense will do in getting them through games. And, if this comes down to them being late in a game, 3 minutes to go, and they need that last couple-minute drive, that two-minute warning drive to go down the field and score points, I don't think Holy Cross is your team to do that. So that, to me, raises a lot of red flags, especially when I'm looking for an elite program. But they've got talent. They've got a very good coach in Dean Horvey, who has led this team past couple of seasons, and they've been incredibly competitive. So I put Holy Cross in at 10th. They did make the top 10. In at ninth, I have Mississippi Valley State. This is a team that offensively I'm a little worried about. Defensively, they're one of the best defensive squads in the country, and that's going to keep them in a lot of games that otherwise they would not be in. But like Holy Cross, I worry about this team late in games if they need points. That's my biggest struggle with this team. So I did put Mississippi Valley State in my top 10, but only in at ninth. At eighth, I have Duquesne. This is a team I've liked over the past couple of seasons. I thought they underperformed in the postseason last season. I thought they could have been a lot better. I think they were knocked out in the second round or in quarterfinals. But, I like what this team's bringing to the table. On offense, I think they'll be able to score a lot of points. I don't think their secondary is very deep, so I'm a little worried there. Otherwise, this is a very good squad coached by a very good coach, and they make eight. In at seventh. I'm telling you, new thing I'm going to be doing this season. I'm going to give you a surprise team of the year in both 1A and 1AA. My surprise team of the year in 1AA, it's a tie between these next two teams. At seventh, I have Youngstown State. This is, to me, a team that isn't getting a lot of love, but offensively, they're as good as anybody in the country. Defensively, they've got pieces that will frustrate you throughout a game. They've got decent formation IQ. It's about mid to upper 50s. Not great, but it's okay. They've got a good coach. I think the Gateway is very, very winnable. So this is a team that I probably would have ranked higher had they had one extra piece on defense. But otherwise, this roster is set to go. They're going to be a tough team to knock off come playoff time. I threw them in at 7th. I'll give the team I really, really like. I think they're capable of getting a 1 seed. I think this next team is capable of winning the title, and it's Northern Arizona. This team has the best formation IQ offensively and defensively in the country. For me, that grades very, very well. So I put them in there at 6. They've got the offensive talent and the defensive talent to win games. No, they don't have the stars that some of these other teams have, but they've got pieces all over the place. They've got enough. There's no question marks really on this team for me. And then you throw in the formation IQ, a good coach, a winnable conference. Guys, I'm buying Northern Arizona a lot right now. It's a team I think you should keep an eye on as we progress through the season. At 5th, here it is, the Gateway Curse. I know, Northern Iowa, a team I really bought into last season. This season, I probably don't like them as much. I like them, not as much. They disappointed me again last season, getting knocked out early. But I think they were in a really tough bracket, and so I think it's okay. I think Gimpy's still a good coach. I'm not questioning any of that. In this season, this team really stacks up well. Offensively and defensively, they graded very, very high. They've got very good formation IQ. I gave this team a total grade of an A. I think they're going to struggle a little bit on the defensive side of the ball if they face a team, if they face Coastal, okay? Coastal will be able to pass against them. Okay, so this is a team that could allow 20 to 27 points against about 5 or 6 other teams, and then the rest of the time they should be fine. I think they've got a lot of pieces on offense to score against anyone. They're capable of winning the title and competing for it. I threw Northern Iowa in at 5th. I've got Columbia in at 4th. I can't really explain why to you, but something about this team doesn't quite feel elite, and I worry about their ability to string together enough playoff wins. It's a team to watch if they get a favorable playoff bracket, but if they get in a tough one where they're, you know, going to be in the same bracket as Tennessee Tech, Southeast Missouri, Holy Cross, Youngstown State, then I'd be concerned about them. But I've got Columbia in at 4th, good offense, good defense, good coach. I can't really tell you why I'm concerned about them. It's just a gut feeling I have. On paper, they look great. And so that's something to watch, is how this team will play on offense, how they're playing on defense. Watch this team first couple of games. They've got a big game tomorrow against Northeastern. I would watch the game very closely because Tampa Fall is a good coach, capable of pulling off any big upset, and that would be one he would go after tomorrow. In at 3rd, I don't have them in the top 2, which is a little rare. They're starting to drop a little bit. It's Jacksonville State. Now, I know they win the championship every single season. I know Coach James is one of the best coaches, but I think this season, last season, I thought things were wide open because the talent level wasn't there with anyone. And I thought Jacksonville State had good enough talent, but I wasn't in love with anyone. This season, I think there's two really great teams, and then I think Jacksonville State matches up with Columbia, Northern Iowa, Northern Arizona. They're about on the same talent level. This seems very good. I don't think they're as good as the next two teams. IQ-wise, they're great. Defensively is where I think this team's going to struggle. They have some significant issues there in their secondary that I think is going to cause a lot of concern against any big-time quarterback that they face. Now, they've got Brandon Cabrera, and they've got Eric Smith. So this team will be able to score. They've also got Juan Anderson at receiver and a good offensive line. But again, this secondary, besides William Brown, I don't know who the secondary has to defend like a top receiver. So you look at a team that's got a couple of weapons to throw to, and I think they would have a really good chance to beat Jacksonville State. That, to me, it's a good team, but secondary is not very deep. It's very suspect, and I'm not sure how deep of a run that team will be able to make this season. Again, it's Jacksonville State. It's Coach James T. They still have talent at quarterback, running back, and receiver, so they're still going to be competitive. Number 3 is nothing to sneeze at, but that's where I put them for this season. In at 2nd, this team, they've disappointed me recently. It's Texas Southern. last season. I thought the team had a great chance to go and contend for the title. I think, again, they do this season. But listen, they got to make it out of the second round. They really, really do. This offense is so talented. They've got so many weapons. There's no real reason for this team to not be playing. Really, they should be in the Final Four. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. And they've got a very good quarterback in Stephen Henry. Bobby Rogers is a top five running back. He's backed up by Peter Perez, who's a very good running back. They've got two very good weapons at receiver. They've got a good tight end, good offensive line. This team, if they see like a Jacksonville State, they really shouldn't have any trouble scoring against that type of team. So I think Texas Southern, now their secondary is decent, not great. Linebackers are good. Defensive line isn't great. But otherwise, this team is very, very talented. This is the type of team that I think should be in the Final Four. I think they should be considered a lock. And if they don't make it, I will be disappointed. The next team, ranked number one, I think they're the early favorites to win the title. It's Tennessee Tech. This team is one of the most talented teams that I have seen come around in a long time. Orange Pace has done a bunch of work on this team. And Guest has them ranked first. Typically, Guest and I don't agree all the time. But Henry Cohen, Carl Coleman, and Jeffrey Morton, along with Matthew Davis, Kenneth Wolf, Roberto Fields, that's some of the most deadly offensive weapons I have ever seen. They have four receivers they can go to, along with a good quarterback, a good running back, a good tight end, and a good offensive line. I don't think Jacksonville State has the defense to contend with this team, and I put Jacksonville State in at third. But I think Tennessee Tech could put up 30 or 40 points on them. That's how good this offense is. Defensively, they've got a very good defensive line. They've got five good linebackers and two behind them, behind those first five, that could play on a number of top 10 teams. They've got a good secondary. It's not as deep as I would like, but you're giving me Dennis Ortiz, who can go one-on-one with any receiver. You're giving me Michael Austin, who can do the same. And then you're giving me some fast pieces. I like Tennessee Tech to win the title early this season, but pay attention to like a team like Northern Arizona, Northern Iowa, Duquesne. Those are some of the teams that I think could make some runs. And Southeast Missouri, that's a team that if Tennessee Tech gets a little cocky early on in the season and they don't game plan well, Southeast Missouri can jump up and bite you. Okay, so that's your 1AA Donovan season rankings. We'll go 15 through 1 real quick. 15th, I've got Coastal Carolina. 14th, Eastern Kentucky. Yale at 13th. Southeast Missouri at 12th. Cal Poly at 11th. The Holy Cross Crusaders at 10th. Mississippi Valley State at 9th. Duquesne at 8th. Youngstown State at 7th. Northern Arizona 6th. I put in 5th, Northern Iowa. Columbia gets to 4th. Jacksonville State 3rd. Texas Southern 2nd. Tennessee Tech 1st. And I will take Tennessee Tech to play in the national championship. I don't know who gets into that second game. I'm going to take 1 versus 2. Tennessee Tech versus Texas Southern. There's no reason in the world why Texas Southern should not get there this season. That is a very talented team. They just need to game plan correctly, and they should be able to beat anyone. I'm going to pick them to make the national championship against Tennessee Tech. I think that'll be a good game. Okay. Just a second here as I set up for 1A. 1A, Donovan season rankings coming out. By the way, people are going crazy over in the chat. Why didn't I have Northeastern ranked in the top? I don't think that team is very deep. So before we get to 1A, let's go over what Northeastern really is, because I think a lot of people are confused with them. Last season, I thought the job they did of making that Final Four run was absolutely incredible. It just speaks to how good of a coach Tampa Fly is. If you remember, long ago, he took over Morgan State and first season took them to the Final Four as like an 8 seed. He's a very good coach, capable of taking teams that you would not expect and then taking them into the Final Four. This Northeastern team, to me, they've got pieces to pull off big wins, but the reason they didn't get in to the top 15 is because they do not have enough depth for me to like this team. Like defensive line, they've got Bradley Bell, who's good, And then they've got nobody else on that defensive line. So if you've got a good offensive line, you only really have one guy to really be worried about. They've got three good linebackers, and that's probably the highlight of this defense. But the secondary isn't deep. Francisco Quick, he's not good enough to start on just about any top 25 program. So that, to me, is highly suspect. I'm not in favor of that secondary. I think you need strong secondaries to win. They're not going to be able to go deep on offense either. They've got two good running backs, one good wide receiver, and a decent quarterback. But it's nothing great there. Doesn't mean they can't win. Doesn't mean Tampa Falls not a good coach. But when I'm doing power rankings, they don't match up with what I'm trying to do. Okay, so Donovan season 1A in at 15th is LSU. Very talented on defense, not so much on offense. Formation IQ is really my biggest question mark for them. I'm not really sure how this team's going to stack up as far as winning big games throughout the season. I thought they would be very good last season, but they struggled in some games. They really, really did. They do have a lot of talent on that defense, which I think will carry them through some big games. But it's going to be one of those teams where I'm kind of in wait-and-see mode, which is typically where I am with a lot of those SEC teams. I picked Florida to be good in the past. I picked Alabama to be good in the past. Usually, whichever ones I pick to do well, end up sinking it up, and whichever teams I pick or don't even put in the dawn of a season end up doing well. It's almost like the gateway with those SEC programs. LSU does not match up very well with my system of ranking, and that's okay, but I threw them in at 15th. And at 14th, I have Oklahoma. This, to me, is going to be a bit of a surprise for people, but Robert Campbell's a decent quarterback. They've got a decent running back in Ramirez. Wide receivers is just really young, but they've got some decent talent there. Offensive line is okay. Defensive line, this defense is really where this team takes off. They've got a very good secondary. They've got good linebackers, very good defensive line. The best linemen and the second best defensive linemen are on this Oklahoma Sooners squad. So they're going to be – and then 19th best defensive lineman. So they're going to be able to put together a really good pass rush. That, to me, can cause enough havoc against anyone to keep you in big games. So I threw Oklahoma in at 14th, not good enough to make the top 10, but good enough to have pieces to win big games. In at 13th, I've got Pittsburgh. I really like the Geese. I think they've got a lot of talent at several different teams. Pittsburgh, to me, is more of an offensive threat than a defensive threat. They've got several pieces to be concerned about. The first is George Thompson at quarterback. He is an incredibly capable quarterback in 1A. He's ranked 6th in the country. They've got two decent running backs, a couple of good wide receivers. Offensive line is okay, not great. Defensively, they've got a very good first four defensive line. Their linebackers are okay, and then their secondary is very suspect, but I think they'll be okay. It's the type of team where I think they've got, again, like Oklahoma, they've got enough weapons to win a big game, but they're not gonna go undefeated. They're gonna end the season with a couple of big losses. But I do like Pittsburgh. They've got a very good coach. I have picked that team in the past to do poorly, and they've gone on to win a national championship or be very, very competitive. So I threw Pittsburgh in there at 13th. I think they're a good team, not great, very good. Nebraska, this is a type of team that to me is a very good all-around program, but nothing about this team really stands out for me besides the fact that they have a very good coach who I think is capable of putting them in a good enough position against Texas, Oklahoma, whatever. Will Gibson knows how to put together a team and compete. But again, there's nothing bad about this team, in my opinion. There's just nothing great about it. You've got a decent defensive line, decent set of linebackers, decent secondary. I mean, there's just nothing on this roster that really stands out to me besides two good receivers. So if they face a weak secondary or a secondary lacking depth, then Nebraska probably has a little bit of a favor. But, I mean, the quarterback is ranked 36th. He's okay, not great. What I like about this team is I like their formation IQ offensively. Defensively, it's suspect, but I think they're going to be good. I threw them in at 12. Okay, one team that I put at 11th, this is a team that I just never ranked very well, but they always outperform how I rank them. It's Boston College. And I think the ACC has been getting better each and every season. I don't think this is going to be any exception. Now, Boston College was ranked 6th, according to Guest. So Guest likes the depth of this roster. I like the quarterback, Richard Cox. I like Milton Hill. The receiving core, though, they've got 2 decent receivers. They only have 4 total on this team. And Mark Jensen, their best receiver, is just ranked 30th. I'm not sure how well that's going to play out. Offensive line is okay. Now, defensive line is very, very good. They've got 3 top 10 defensive linemen. And then they've got Peter Kelly, who's ranked very high as well. They're going to be able to put together a rush against anyone. Their linebackers will cause havoc. And then their secondary isn't bad either. Not as deep as I would like, which I've mentioned before, but their secondary at least has some pieces that will keep this team competitive. So I threw Boston College in there at 11th. Okay, in at 10th, I have the Rutgers Scarlet Knights coached by Logan W3. This is a team that I really, really like because of the talent. They've got the 5th best quarterback, Thomas Fuller. They've got Stephen Miller at running back. Receiving core is decent. Offensive line is good. Defensive line is good. Linebacking core is deep enough for me. And their secondary, 3 guys on the top 50, and then 2 behind them that aren't bad either. I like Rutgers on the talent scale, but where I struggle with this team is with formation IQ. And I think when they're playing a UConn, a Pittsburgh, etc., that to me is going to be a big factor for Rutgers. So I threw them in at 10th. At 9th, I've got Alabama. Good offense. Defense is very, very suspect, in my opinion. I'm not sure how this team's going to play against a Florida or against even a Tennessee or an LSU, but I like a lot of players on this roster, especially that offense. I think they can score with anyone. In my opinion, you know, the old saying is defense wins championships. It's the most cliche thing in the world. But in my opinion, the offense at least keeps you competitive. So if I'm looking for a team kind of a filler for a space I'm not really sure about, that Alabama fits that mold. Good offense, not great at defense. They're good at formation IQ. So I threw them in at 9th. I think they're going to be a tough team to beat, but I think it's going to be tough for them to overcome an LSU who's got talent or a Tennessee who's got talent and a good coach. That's where I think Alabama could struggle. I put Miami in at 8th. I really like Miami. IQ is a little lopsided. It's good offensively, a little rough on the defensive side, but this roster is very good all around. They've got enough pieces to beat anybody. I threw them in at 8. I think early on they are my favorites to win the ACC. I think they've got a very good coach who's putting that team together each and every season and recruiting. Bullfrog, he was at Wyoming. And when he was at Wyoming and went to Miami, I said, watch that team explode over the next couple of seasons. And they're starting to. You're starting to see some real progress there. I don't think they're an elite team yet, but I think they're capable of winning some really big games. I'm going to pick them early on to win the ACC. I think Florida State's down. I think Boston College is very good. UNC is going to be a tough out for anyone. But I like Miami the best. I'll do them in at 8. Okay, in at 7. One team that's not receiving love from just about anybody else, but I like them a whole heck of a lot. It's UConn. This, to me, is one of the most well-coached teams in all of 1A. And then this roster is absolutely incredible. Warren Walker, their starting quarterback, he's ranked 3rd in the country. They have the best running back in the country in Juan Ledbetter and the best receiver in the country in Corey Young. Imagine if a team last season had Amari Cooper and Todd Gurley and then had Andrew Luck from Stanford. That's kind of what UConn's got. They've got a bunch of really good pieces. Not a very deep team. That's okay. They've got a good piece at tight end, good offensive line. Defensive line is perfectly capable. And then the thing I really like about this team is that their secondary is deep enough to keep them in big games. They've got speed in that secondary that I think will limit big plays. And then the next part of this team that I like is their formation IQ is solid. I think UConn is capable of winning the national championship this season. Douglas Lee is a very good coach. I think this is going to be his finest hour at UConn. I think he's off to Tennessee next season, assuming Grindy leaves. And this, to me, is a very well-coached, very good, very talented football team in UConn. I put him in at sixth, or at seventh. Okay, in at six is a team I usually have ranked a little higher, but I think they're a little down from what they have been. At sixth place, I have Minnesota, coached by EZ37, the great Z, the coach at Minnesota. Frank LeBlanc is a, by the way, he's got the best name in all of 1A. Frank LeBlanc is just a great name, but he's also a really good quarterback. He's ranked fourth in the country. Running back Peter Lopez is good backup. They've got a deep receiving core, but not really a very talented piece there, like not a top 10 receiver. Offensive line is average. Defensive line is good. It's deep. Their linebackers are also deep and very good. I like that. I think that will carry them through some big games against Penn State, Michigan State, Notre Dame, and so forth. And then the secondary, again, a very deep secondary, and it's led by a star, Eugene Green. To me, Minnesota is going to be a very tough team to beat, but they don't match up, in my opinion, as well as they have in previous seasons. Now, it may be because they're down a little bit, but it could also be a testament to how good these next five teams are. At fifth place, I have your reigning national champions, the Florida Gators. It's not because I dislike them. I like them. I'm a little concerned about where this team is with their offensive formation IQ. That's my biggest concern going into the season. Last season, I was concerned about the roster. This season, it's their formation IQ. And then Joseph Harris is the 68th best quarterback in the country. He's starting for them. That, to me, is a big concern. They've only got one really good offensive piece, and that is junior Mitchell Gonzalez, who's the seventh best receiver in the country. They've got David Kramer tight end. He's good. Offensive line is good. Defensively, this team's going to really contend with a lot of teams. And that's kind of where I like Florida, and that's why they rank so high, is because defensively, it's almost not going to matter what they can't produce offensively. They'll be able to keep Alabama, Tennessee, any of those really good programs. Florida will be able to keep them down. And you're going to see a lot of 13-10, a lot of ugly wins for this Gator football team. I think they're capable of getting to the championship game again, but they aren't my favorite to win it. They've got good enough pieces at the on that defense. But again, I worry about their offense, both in talent and IQ. I do like that defense, though. At fourth place, I have Penn State, the perennial number one team, according to Guess. I've got them at fourth. Listen, I like TKE Chubb. I think he gets a bit of a bad rep. He schedules tough, and just every single season it feels like he's just outside of making that championship game. I'm concerned about starting freshman Christopher Emery at quarterback, but they do have running back Raymond Johnson, who will be able to carry the load. That's the difference in my mind between Penn State and Florida, is at least with Penn State, you've got good running backs, and then you've got a very deep receiving core to help out what is otherwise a very average quarterback. And then the offensive line is good. Their defensive line is very, very deep. And then they've got a good defensive lineman in Jeff Brown. Linebacking core goes deep as well. And then the secondary is an above average secondary. So I think Penn State has a lot of pieces. They're going to be a deep team that's tough to game plan for, because you're not really sure where they're going to be able to beat you, but they will beat you. They've got the pieces to do it offensively and defensively. IQ-wise, they're okay offensively. Defensively, they're pretty good. So I threw them in at fourth. Okay, these next three teams, in my mind, stand out from the rest of the pack. At third place, I have Texas. Texas has this is a weird team. Offensively, talent-wise, they are not there with the talent in comparison with these other teams. They have a decent quarterback, David Johnson, two good running backs, Jerry Willis, Martin Parks, okay wide receiving core, okay line. It's not a great offense. It's certainly not bad, but it's definitely not great. What I like about the offense, though, is that the formation IQ is probably the second best in the country. So they're going to be able to score points. You're going to struggle to beat this team. Defensively, that is where they are as good as anyone in the country. I think they've got probably one of the best secondaries. They certainly have one of the best, if not the best, linebacking core in the country. So I think that will carry Texas in a lot of these big games. So I threw them in at third. At second place, I've got USC. I like the all-around talent. There's probably not a weak spot on this roster. So talent-wise, they're good to go. It's not a great group that's filled with a bunch of stars, but I think they're good enough to win big games. What concerns me about this team, though, is their offensive formation IQ, which came in pretty low for an elite squad. Now, defensively, this team's going to be fine on the IQ side of the ball, but I worry about it on the offensive side of the ball. G-Cal is a very good coach. You're starting to see some more pieces appear in the Pac-10. You've got UCLA. California's coming along. Washington's getting very good. And I'm sure I'm forgetting about somebody else. I think Arizona's out there, too, and they're getting competitive as well. So the Pac-10 starting to come along. I do really like USC, though. I think G-Cal is a very, very good coach. This is a deep team, very good all-around program that he's got there. I threw them in at second place. And then at first place, I think they stand out from the rest. You're going to be a little bit surprised with it. And honestly, I have had talks with this coach. His system doesn't usually match up with mine, but this season, it really, really does. At first place, I have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Quarterback Henry Short, the big recruit that everybody's talked about, he called into the show at one point, is ranked second in the country at quarterback. They've got a good running back. They've got three good wide receivers, good tight end, very good offensive line. I mean, there is not a weak spot on this roster. Everything about them is very, very good. I think they are the early season favorites to win the Big Ten. They are my early season favorites to get to and win the national championship. For the national championship game, I am going to take Notre Dame to play UConn. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm not going to pick Penn State or Minnesota because they're in the Big Ten along with Notre Dame. I think USC has got their hands full with the Pac-10. I think Florida has a couple of more question marks than I like. I think UConn is a bit of a surprise squad in a winnable Big East that's going to be tough enough to keep the strength of schedule up, but not too tough to where they're going to be going through a gauntlet week in and week out. I like Douglas Lee as a coach, so I'm going to take Notre Dame to play UConn in the national championship game for 1A. So there you have it. That's your dawn of a season. It's your dawn of a season ranking. Let's go 15 through 1 real quick before we move on. I've got LSU at 15th, Oklahoma at 14th, Pittsburgh at 13th. I put Nebraska at 12th, Boston College 11th, Rutgers 10th, Alabama 9th, Miami is in at 8th, UConn 7th, Minnesota 6th, Florida 5th, Penn State 4th, Texas 3rd, USC 2nd, and Notre Dame in at 1st. And then I'm picking UConn to play Notre Dame in the national championship game. Now, I know a lot of people ask, well, how come you do these dawn of a season rankings and then you take like the 7th or 8th best team and pick them to make the national championship game? Listen, I do that because I look a lot at schedules. I think that's very important. I think as good as Florida was last season, to me, they're a bit of an outlier. Unless one team just looks like a complete lock because of talent and formation IQ, then I look a lot at the schedule. And I'm looking at UConn. They play Wyoming, Eastern Michigan, Southern Methodist. Now, those are two of those three teams are actually pretty good mid-major programs, and they're all very, very winnable for UConn. I think UConn will roll both of the will roll through non-conference play, but Wyoming and Southern Methodist are no joke, and I think UConn it will get a good strength of schedule rating as a result. Then they get low. I think that's a win there. Syracuse, in my mind, is a win. Now, Pittsburgh and Rutgers back-to-back, that's going to be tough. But I like UConn to win at least one, if not probably both of those games. So to me, if you look at the top eight teams, top seven or eight teams, UConn has, in my mind, the best schedule. And Douglas Lee is a very good coach. So that's your dawn of a season rankings for 1A. and for one double A. Kate, before we go, by the way, we have some big game tomorrow. And one of the things I've talked about that I think has gotten so much better over the past couple of seasons is the scheduling. And I think that's more of an attribute to you guys than anything else. I mean, we're getting more coaches in here, which has definitely helped. And I think we've weeded out through a lot of the inactive coaches and gotten to coaches who really care about the game and about the show and different things like that. But you guys have done a great job scheduling. I've picked out some big games tomorrow, and these aren't even all the human versus human games. These are just the games I think will be really interesting or really good games to watch. UCLA, coached by Bomber, takes on Nebraska. That's going to be a fun game. UCLA's got a good coach. They've got some talent. Nebraska's very well coached. They've got some talent. That game, honestly, Nebraska's probably favored by 6 or 7 points. It could go either way. Arkansas versus Miami, I think it's an early season test for Bullfrog's team and that Miami offense. That, to me, is an interesting game to watch. Robbie Mann coming back to Arkansas, he leads that team in the battle. They've got a good program there, several good recruits. They're capable of pulling off an upset there. Missouri versus Penn State. This is Mr. Fortune's return into what is sports or into Gridiron Dynasty in our Wilkinson world. He was at Michigan past several seasons and got canned there. He debuts at Missouri, which was previously coached by me. There's a lot of talent in that Missouri program. I like Penn State, but that's a tough week one matchup. And then you've got Notre Dame and Oregon. This is a game where Notre Dame's probably favored, but again, Katie Forster's a good coach, capable of winning a big game. This is a game I think could be a little scary at halftime for Notre Dame. And if they get too caught up in watching college football tomorrow and forget the game plan for that second half, Oregon may jump up and bite them. That's going to be a fun game to watch in week one. You got Boston College versus Southern Methodist, Maryland versus Washington. Two teams that aren't favored to win their conference, in my opinion, but they both got good coaches, good rosters, capable of winning big games. And then last in 1A that I picked out was Pitt versus Florida. It's a very big game tomorrow. Pitt capable of winning that one. Florida looking to continue their reign as national champ. And then in 1AA, some other big games, Northeastern taking on Columbia. I've got Columbia ranked very high, but we all know what Tampa Fa is capable of, so that'll be a good game to watch. Villanova versus San Diego, definitely a tough game. That game probably decides a 5 or 6 seed going into playoffs. You've got Alabama A&M versus Northern Iowa. These are the typical games that Gympie and Northern Iowa have lost in recent seasons, and Alabama A&M has a very good roster. So that game tomorrow, I think it's a bit of a coin flip. I'll pick Northern Iowa to win, but Alabama A&M, I think, is going to really give them hell tomorrow. That'll be a good game to watch. And then last but not least, it's a game I don't think anybody's paying attention to, but I think you'll want to at the end of the season. Austin Peay versus Eastern Tennessee State. That, to me, is a very good it's a couple of probably 7 or 8 seeds going at it tomorrow. So, I mean, really big games tomorrow with playoffs on the line, with the championship game on the line in 1A. Some really good matchups coming in tomorrow. And I'm really excited about it. I really am. Tomorrow feels more like the start of playoffs than it does the start of week one. I remember when I first started the blog, week one, you'd be lucky if you had like 2 good games. And you were surely going to get at least 1 week where there was nothing going on. I mean, just nothing. So this to me is exciting to watch. And Jesse Guy will hopefully have the featured games up on the Wilkinson Central website later on this evening. Again, go over and visit the Wilkinson Central website if you haven't yet. We have been working on it so hard, which is why these shows have been inconsistent. Now, our plan is to be back here on Tuesday. I have relinquished a lot of my site duties to Just the Guy, to Orange Pays, and to several other guys on that are on the staff with the website. So I will be able to get this program out to you more frequently than I have been, and we should be able to return to a pretty regular schedule. Who am I kidding? Honestly, we've never really had a regular schedule, but we're going to try to. We're going to try to get to a Tuesday and Thursday or Friday show. Okay, guys, I want to thank you for joining us today. I am really looking forward to college football tomorrow. I sat and watched games last night. I watched Michigan play Utah. That was good. That South Carolina-North Carolina game was about the ugliest football game I have watched in a while. And then I watched my Duke Blue Devils tear up Tulane last night, which was a lot of fun. I will be at Liberty vs. Delaware State tomorrow. If you guys want to talk lines and favorites and all that stuff, Liberty tomorrow is a 36.5-point favorite to beat Delaware State. So I'm going to be – that game I don't think is going to be close. We may end up leaving at halftime or by the third quarter. But, yeah, the 36.5-point favorites to win. The college football season gets underway. I got underway last night, really gets underway tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we get our season underway as well tomorrow. Looking forward to that as well. All right, guys, I want to thank you for joining us today. Go visit Wilkinson Central. Have fun tomorrow. Good luck to everyone. Continue to chat it up for the next 4 minutes while we've got the music going. And our media poll will debut tonight on the website. We'll have that up. Thanks, guys, for joining us. This is the CJ Sweat Show.